For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of crime. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. If you try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 225 of Fourth and John. I am Gale Saunders here with Jimmy Smith, Chris Malley. We got the Tims in the building playing off at the tackle down there. But obviously today we're talking about the path to 53. I don't know if where you've been as an Eagle fan. Today was like almost sort of like Christmas or, you know, boys to men, end of the road moment, where you're following along with these players that you've grown a liking to. Everyone has their guy. I like it. Let's be honest. Everyone has their guy. Never wants to be right with their 53. But obviously, we let go of some good players. We held on to some questionable players. We'll get to that in a moment. But I feel like at the end of the day, we saw a lot of news popping off on the timeline, and we're just gonna get to it. Overall, we'll start with Jimmy. How are you feeling so far?
I was a little surprised, or definitely surprised moves, but we talked about that wide receiver battle. I think that one, you know, we talked about J-Jaw might make this team because Fulgham and Hightower weren't stepping it up, and because of the fact J-Jaw did on special teams, he found himself on this roster. But there's a lot of talent still out there in the realm of the NFL, a lot of people getting cut, so we could be placing a lot of claims in on people and not necessarily the roster you're looking at tomorrow. So I'm excited. Love to see guys like Teron Jackson, Jack Stoll make the team. I'm pumped up, man. We finally got ourselves a roster, and they named Jordan Mailata and Jalen Hurts the starters, as if we didn't know. But get that out of the way. So I'm feeling great today.
What about you, Chris?
I'm feeling good. There's a couple of surprises, but I feel like we have to be patient and not have like real fast, rash reactions, because some guys are going to get moved to PUP, some guys are going to get moved to IR. I'm interested to see what they do with Teron Jackson and what they're going to do with I feel like Jordan Howard might find his way back on the team pretty fast. I think the biggest surprise for me, just initial thoughts, was Marlon Tupilotu from USC. I was kind of shocked he made the team just because he's shown some promise but not a ton of flash. I feel like Jacoby Stevens is a guy that they're going to try to keep on the team. He had injuries early in camp, but overall, though, I feel good. But the one thing that I'm expecting is they might try to get a receiver from the waiver wire, because right now it is loaded with players. A lot of guys that were top prospects in the draft, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Interesting. Now from the Tims, we'll also start with AZ Tim in the building. I mean, I know Tim has been dropping some gems all morning. He's been keeping me updated and refreshed with some information. But how are you feeling today, Tim?
Oh, man, I'm a little confused of what's going on. I think everybody. Seven linebackers. Like, what are we doing here?
Trade.
We already know.
We got a trade in the works here.
Yeah, we got a trade in the works. So I'll be dropping a couple of gems in there. Also, man, just to see a couple of surprises. I know Jordan Howard's coming back. I know Richard Rodgers is coming back as well. The DB, though, the DB position, that's what I'm a little intrigued and see what we're going to do. But, hey, man, let's go, Birds. We're here for the season, man. Let's go.
Mr. Bracton, how are you feeling? I know you just come back from work from NFL Films.
Yeah, man, I had to you know, rush down 95 to get here with you guys, you know, jump on, put myself at risk. But yeah, man, definitely I'm excited like everybody else. You know, I mean, we're that much closer to the start of the season. So it's a plus, you know, seeing the cut day, always love to see that. Wasn't really too shocked about, you know, most of the moves that we made. Kind of knew we had talked previously, you know, earlier in preseason about, you know, the wide receiver depth and who was kind of on the bubble. After the performance that we all saw J-Jaw make, you know, I made a comment last week about that. Kind of figured he was going to make this squad, you know, how he even addressed it at his press conference, you know, just a little bit ago, talking about, you know, they want to see their draft picks develop. They want to see these guys actually get, you know, full on opportunities to succeed. So kind of figured that he was going to make the squad. You know, I'm just ready to go. I'm curious to see, like everybody else in the room, I'm curious to see what happens with, you know, the rest of these guys. Like Chris was stating just earlier, you know, I'm curious to see what happens in this waiver wire. I'm curious to see, you know, who ends up on this practice squad. Those things like that. I mean, those are the things that I'm kind of waiting for as a, you know, football guy, Eagles guy. The little nooks and crannies are the things that I'm waiting for to see how this team really, really is going to develop. So yeah, but other than that, man, let's go.
Now let's go to the hot topic. Everyone is talking about Fulgham. I see a lot of comments in here about Fulgham. Andrew says, how y'all feel about JJ over Fulgham? At the end of the day, it's talk about consistency. You know, has J-Jaw been a little bit more consistent than Fulgham? We're talking about special teams ability, but we've also talked about the potential of some of these guys getting traded. Is J-Jaw really the last piece on this wide receiver depth chart? I mean, we can look at it. Courtesy of the Eagles here. This is their list here. Rager. We all feel good about Devontae Smith, Greg Ward, Quez Watkins, Rager, J-Jaw. You know, talk about consistency. Fulgham had an inconsistent camp. You can't even, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He had an inconsistent camp and preseason. So are you guys overall feeling that was the right move there? I mean, we all saw that stretch last year, but are we all feeling that that was the right move?
We sat here last week and said that one of those guys between Hightower, Fulgham, and Arthega Whiteside had to step it up, and it was because of the lack of any kind of production, not just preseason, but watching the joint practices, watching all of the practices. Nobody was really stepping it up, so we talked about that game was so important because somebody had to take the reins. Well, sure enough, right at the end of the half, not only does he catch that touchdown pass, Arthega Whiteside, he then makes the tackle on the kickoff. I think he was showing, you know, that with a different coaching staff, different scenery, maybe he can provide something to this team. And if anything, he's wide receiver 5 right now, a possession guy you use sparingly. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we talk about people getting claimed. So many waiver wire things are going on right now that we don't know about. And this team is going to look completely different. So could that be a different receiver? Sure. I think Davian Taylor, Tim mentioned 7 linebackers. We made a joke about that. Could this be the year of 7 linebackers, like 7 receivers? And it is, because I think Taylor gets placed on the IR, which sucks for him. But, you know, you still have 6. I love what Gale said about there could be some trade possibilities there. So wild stuff going. But I think Fulgham, he had a lack of production. And, you know, with some of these guys, like, there will be moves made. But Arthega Whiteside, out of those receivers, was the best. So he earned it.
Yeah, another big thing with J-Jaw is it's draft stock. How he spent a second round pick, so he's gonna do everything he can and give that guy as much time as he can to prove him both of them right. And the big thing is he's the one that made the play against the Jets last week, and he's a guy that it's annoying, but like he blocks really well, and that's something that Moorhead and Sirianni really appreciate. That being said, he's the 5th receiver right now, and we can highlight a bunch of guys that are on the waiver wire. Like, there are a ton of guys on the waiver wire. Like, there's guys that instantly could probably be, like, our 3rd or 4th best receiver that are on the waiver wire. I mean, Cornell Powell from Clemson, he got waived. Dustin Patrick from Louisville, he got waived. Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty, he was on Washington, got away. Like, there are a ton of guys. John Brown is a free agent right now. Travis Benjamin is a free agent right now. Like, if we want to get some upside guys that we can stash, there's a ton of them. If we need a vet to step in right now, we can get one of them. The whole thing, though, is I even before Tim said it, I know Jordan Howard's going to be back. They're just maneuvering the roster around a little bit. They probably have a little handshake deal behind the back. Richard Rodgers, the same thing. Overall, though, the running back room is a huge strength, though. I don't think that all the Eagles fans realize how good Kenneth Gainwell is and how great he can be in this offense. The Eagles love him, and he progressively got better and better throughout the preseason. I'm really excited to see him, and I feel like he's going to take a lot of snaps away from Miles Sanders, but he might even take some snaps away from the receivers in general. I mean, the running backs, but from the receivers as well, though. Gainwell probably has, like, top three best hands on the team. He can line up all over the place, and he has tremendous hands. So it's going to be interesting to see how Sirianni uses all these versatile guys that we have.
Now, Tim, I know you were you were talking to me earlier about you hearing some trades of J-Jaw.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's a possibility?
I don't think it's going to be a possibility, because now that, you know, what Chris just said, it makes kind of sense about how, you know, I'm seeing a little bit of things like playing out in my head. And from what I've talked to my sources about, you know, like, they're saying what Chris is saying. Basically, he blocks. He's a good guy. They like his time. They like he's a team morale type of guy. Doesn't complain about the ball. Just, you know, he wants to block and do the little things that wide receivers don't want to do. But man, when it comes to being productive and, you know, getting open for, you know, to get the ball, he just doesn't do it. Gainwell, I had some sources basically tell me that, you know, if he would have played in the 2020 season, they was comparing him to Christian McCaffrey. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't know about Christian McCaffrey, but
Alvin Kamara, bro. Alvin Kamara is my comparison.
He's got a nice skill set. He's made a room for himself on this roster, and the hands have been sticky. Talking about going back to Tim saying you know, going back to the back end of the roster, like a guy who might have not been doing things the correct way, it could be John Hightower, Mr. Bracton. How do you think? Are you surprised that Hightower got released?
I'm not. I mean, to be completely honest, when I look down deep inside my gut, I'm not. You know, we talked about this before, you know, those guys being on the bubble, and we've seen throughout preseason how much, you know, leverage that Nick holds with the practices and these joint practices in particular. I mean, so in neither one, either Hightower or Fulgham, like we talked about before, stepped up during those practices. We didn't hear anything coming out. Maybe you might have saw a flash here and there, but there was nothing coming out saying that these guys were consistently every day putting up some kind of numbers, having a great practice, having great camps. I mean, so am I surprised to answer your question, Dale? No, I'm not. I know we all kind of were rooting for him in the backfield here, but I just, like Chris was saying, you know, that draft capital that we spent on, you know, Jaynall is what kind of kept him on his roster. And we were saying it all off season, you know, saying it all up until preseason. When you look at the other guys that, you know, are behind you who are on the bubble with you, I mean, you're the only one with the life preserver as the Sharks are swimming. I mean, because you're sitting with that second round pick. So, yeah, are you going to make this roster? Yeah, you definitely are above those other two. And especially when the production that we, you know, we're seeing from last season is not transferring over to this season. So am I shocked again? No, I'm not really. But we'll see how it goes forward. Like Chris was just saying, you know, there's a lot of guys on the waiver wire. I mean, with the extensions of the numbers this year because of COVID, the extra games. This roster is going to look different by the time we get to, you know, September 12th. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Now, hey, Chris, your boy AGG.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now if it's one guy, I'm going to go around the room. Jimmy, what would one wide receiver that you'd want to be bringing off the street? You know, the people are talking AGG. What wide receiver would you like?
I'm hearing everything all scratchy. I don't know what the hell that was. If I could bring in one, I like what McLean says here. AGG, he's interesting. But that's kind of the, I mean, I guess he still has the same thing with Arthega Whiteside. It's like, what have you done for me lately? So Arthega Whiteside showed up, whereas Fulgham and Hightower didn't. So for me, I don't think I want to change it. If I had to bring somebody in, I've seen guys like John Brown are out there, and I've seen people talk about him. I don't think we necessarily need another speedster, but you never know with injuries. I wouldn't be against a veteran like him, but honestly, oh my God, I hate even saying this, but I would stick with Arthega Whiteside as your fifth and at least find out. I mean, he made that good catch. It's like, okay, can you do that in a regular season game consistently? And you're only going to be called on maybe five plays a game. The rest of the time, you have to show out on special teams, which he's done. So right now, I honestly, I'm super stoked. You know my passion for Smith and Rager. So add in Watkins, Ward, I'm happy right now with the starters. Just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. And let me say something real quick off of what Jimmy was just saying. You look at this team, and we look at the wide receiver depth, you know, one through five. What is the height with that depth? That's another thing that we're kind of glossing over with J-Jaw is that he has the height. So when we're talking about, you know, we're going into the red zone, we're going into, the, you know, all those, you know, jump ball 50-50s. I mean, this is the guy on this team that you're going to be kind of looking towards to be making those kind of plays. I mean, outside of anybody else, I mean, yeah, they all can make these plays, but this is that big body that you want to have on a team.
I think that's why we kept so many tight ends too, though. That's definitely why we keep so many tight ends, because we had the luxury of having Goddard and Ertz compared to a lot of teams. And that's why, like, I got a Tyron Jackson so intriguing, and that's why Stoll's on the team. But, yeah, like we were talking about the wide receivers in general, though. I want to add at least two of these guys on the waiver wire and stash them on the practice squad, because you can protect practice squad players. Dude, if you can put Cornell Powell or Antonio Gandy Golden, Desmond Patrick, like any of these rookies that were highly talented from top schools such as Louisville, Clemson, if you can add them and put them on the practice squad, just like we had Quez, just learning, getting practice reps with Slay and Nelson all season, and just finally building that repertoire of tools, especially for Moorhead and Sirianni, that it rubbed off magic on Rager, Quez, and Smith this offseason. Obviously, Smith was already retooled, but just getting that NFL experience, like, it would be a disservice not to add at least one of these guys off the waiver wires onto the practice squad, because, yeah, Pat and some of those guys look solid, but, like, Antonio Gandy-Golden was a fourth-round pick. He was just a casualty of just having a ton of talent in Washington, surprisingly, being a strong suit. They took Diami Brown from North Carolina this year, so I would love to add some of these guys.
Yeah. I just saw a question here from someone. They asked, who's going to be our kick returner, punt returner? I think our punt returner, I mean, our kick returner could be, Gainwell could do kick return. We have Quez Watkins as well.
For punt return.
Sorry, yeah. I was just texting you.
You have bad feedback with your mic. But in regards to the kick return and punt return, someone was talking to me about that. So Gainwell kick can do both. Rager can do both. I was going to be interested to see if Hightower was going to get a spot because of that, but now he's gone. Ward is nothing flashy, but he's kind of a guy that he's going to catch the ball. He's not going to fumble it, and he's going to fall down. You're not really going to get anything spectacular from it. But overall, though, I would – and Huntley's gone too. That was a guy that I thought could maybe scratch the roster just because of special team skills. But I would say Rager, Gainwell, I'm trying to think if there's going to be any deep – oh, Boston Scott. But in general, though, I feel like it'll kind of be like those three guys. They're steady with the ball. Ward, Gainwell, Scott, Rager. It's pretty much what it is. We don't really have any specialists, but you got to be careful with that, though, because that's where injuries pile up, and then you might lose a starter. So I'm hopefully that Gainwell is going to be the guy that's doing that, because he's the luxury of being the third running back right now. But I feel like his role is going to evolve. But if you can get a rookie that can play a receiver, running back, and kicker, turner, punt returner, that's amazing value, especially for a fifth round pick.
Most definitely. You know, there's also some guys on waiver wire that you can get on there, you know, like Travis Benjamin. He's a good punt return. He can get behind the defense as well. good veteran, and has connections with Serenani and that whole little staff over there. AGG, man, I'm kind of liking that. I ain't going to lie to you. I want to see you kick the tires on it and give him a chance. You know, also see it with John Brown, but I don't know what – there was something weird about that. I guess he asked for his release from the Raiders, so I don't know what's going on there.
Brian Edwards is going on there.
Right.
Gail, we cannot hear you.
Moving right along to the tight end division. How about that? Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Tyree Jackson, and Jack Stoll. Jack Stoll, favorite amongst a lot of people out there in the internet world. And then Tyree Jackson has shown his worth over the last couple of weeks. Obviously got injured. Dallas Goedert, tight end one. Zach Ertz, tight end one in our hearts. And then I know Tim was mentioning that there's rumors out there about trade rumors flashing up right now about who's interested.
Yes, sir. So
they've never gone away.
Right? Never gone away. At the beginning of training camp, everything died down. Didn't want to trade them. They felt like they didn't have anybody. But the rise of Tyree Jackson and Jack Stoll became something. Looks like the Jets and Arizona Cardinals are just waiting, trying to figure out what's going on with the numbers. Also, what they're doing with their, should I say, Gail, wide receiver?
Go ahead.
It looks like they're interested in Christian Kirk as a trade bait. Due to the fact that he is buried in the draft, he's buried in the depth chart as wide receiver. Got an AJ Green, Hopkins. Those guys ain't coming out the game. You got
Rondell Moore and Andy Isabella.
There you go. So those guys, they don't want to come off the field. So he's kind of like the odd man out. And then also they haven't had a word with Larry Fitz. He still might want to play at 30, age of 38. Well, shout out to him. Happy birthday. And shout out to my daughter. It's her birthday today, too.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to her. Dude, I think that, you know, obviously Cardinals, they loaded up, added AJ Green, they got Isabella, Kirk, all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, you look at teams that are loaded at certain positions, and they could definitely be willing to move somebody. And you look at teams that are hurting for a tight end. We've talked about this all offseason. The Eagles have been trying to move Zach Ertz, and unfortunately, we just haven't got the right price. But we're not going to just give this guy away. And the asking price, you know, isn't really that much. It's just teams know they have us by the balls. We can save a lot of money, and they know he wants more money. So it's kind of like a win-win for the other team. So they've been trying, and I catch a lot of slack for saying I still don't think he's going to be here, but you're going to keep him if you don't find the right deal. It's just, I'm with Tim. I mean, the teams have been calling. They have been trying, and it's just, we're sitting back and waiting. We don't have to do anything. We've got ass loads of cap space. There's no reason, you know, all offseason, a lot of people are saying we had to get rid of him. There's no have to. I just feel that there's talks that Goddard's going to get his extension here soon. He's in his final year. So this is Goddard, tight end one, like Gail just said. And I love the fact that Jack Stoll is still here. Huge fan, obviously. Made jokes about the mullets, all that great stuff. But he's an H-back, dude. He is somebody, not an inline blocker, but he has the hands. He has exactly what we wanted. We talk about what Trey Burton did in Indianapolis. I think that's what Jack Stoll can be. And it's awesome to see him. I didn't think he was going to stick around if Tyree Jackson were still healthy. But, hey, I love it. Tyree Jackson gets placed on the IR. Maybe Dick Rod comes back. You guys got me calling him that now. Now he'll be back at tight end. And I think that this room is pretty nice. I saw someone mention we need to see some 12 personnel. I think you'll see a little dust in the 13 personnel, too. You get three tight ends out there. We mean business, baby. You get Stoll in motion, don't know what he's doing. I am very excited about this offense.
We see how Stoll was utilized in a couple of the preseason games. They fed him a little bit, saw what he could do. But it just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was saying keep him for tight ends. And you hold on to Ertz as long as you can hold on to him. And then this is where you're at, where you can easily, you know, we don't want to move him if we don't have to, but you're just talking about make it make sense. Right now, it looks like something could be lurking. I don't know. We'll see. Because I know, shout out to Prime and Evan who are working hard today. They couldn't make it. They're trying to make that money. Okay. Money. Prime just got married. He's got bills to pay. Okay. Shout out to those dudes. We all saw that Cam Newton got released today. He released a note out in Wingding font. There's not many people who write in Wingdings. Cam Newton does. There was some talks about Eagles. Some people were interested in bringing Cam Newton, but I'm kind of like okay with that. I mean,
I'm good.
Yeah, his name is Cam Noodle.
Let him go to Noodle. Dallas. Let him go to Dallas.
We've got enough here. I like
Dallas. Dallas is in on the Cowboys.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Dallas is in on Cam.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's the projections right now. You're looking at either one Dallas or, you know, I've heard Washington. I've heard Houston. I've heard, obviously, Denver. You know, is always a commodity for a quarterback. But I mean, yeah, I would rather have him go to Dallas and mess that locker room up rather than coming into Philly. I mean, come on, let's be real.
People are all over the place on Cam. Cam's also not vaccinated, so it's a weird thing. This whole vaccination thing right now is now guys that are on the bubble. If you are not vaccinated, they have a reason not to bring you in, which is like, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I mean,
it affected my fantasy team. I'm like, is this mother?
You're like, yo, can I draft this dude in the late round?
Like, hey, you think that? Yeah, you guys think that had a reason to do with why he's no longer in New England? The fact that he's not vaccinated.
I think so.
Gail, check your phone. Check your phone. I just sent you a meme.
Check you got some scoopage.
I think it definitely could, Tim. No matter if they tell us or not, I think it definitely. He's not doing what it takes to be a team leader. It's like Carson Wentz. You know, he's not a leader. He doesn't care about other people. So I just don't think you need someone like that on your team.
Do you see Tyler Tynes? Tyler Tynes put out a great Cam Newton meme today. That was pretty big. I don't know if you can see that. It's the Pfizer. When Cam didn't pick up that fumble?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were just probably not sick. They were just probably like, yeah, it's not worth it.
No.
You know, Mac Jones, in my Mike Jones voice, Mac Jones put on for his city, for his team. How about Alabama? Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones starting quarterbacks?
Week one. Love it.
Yeah, week one, man. What's crazy is the Dolphins.
The rookies look good, man.
Are interested in the Dolphins are still interested in Deshaun Watson. That's weird to me.
It's weird.
I'm just grateful that they finally said the Eagles are out. I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? I'm so grateful. I'm like,
I was so happy when I heard that he didn't want to come here.
Both Tim, I know you guys, we've sparingly got to talk, but I know you guys feel the same way. Jalen Hurts, right? And I know how Chris and Gail feel about this. It's like, we want to see what we have in this guy, right? And I mean, we've been excited. We know we've seen him in taking the first team reps. And a lot of the fans, you know, as much as we sit here and we're like, look, we know he's QB1. A lot of people are pissed. They want him to be named, you know, this, that, the other thing. I've had the luxury of talking to some of the people real close to Jalen Hurts. And dude, I think this is literally the best thing that's ever happened. All of these people just doubting him, all of these people saying things, oh, he's not the starter, this. He actually welcomes all of it. And I feel like he's the juggernaut. You know, every time you hit him, he just gets stronger. And it's just like, dude, keep stoking that fire, baby. So I'm pretty stoked about, you know, just getting it all out. No more. They can write stupid articles about Watson and Hurts is not QB1. It's done.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I mean, it's here to stay. Finally, we have we're kind of reassured. Like, they finally announced him as the starter. It's funny that, you know, Sirianni made mention of the reps that he's getting. He got all the first reps. We all knew, and people were just like, why don't they name him? This is coach psyche stuff. And obviously he's played himself into this position. Obviously we've been waiting for him to be QB1, and he's going to get a shot to do it. And this is what it is to me. Like, he's getting the opportunity. Doesn't mean he's going to be the franchise forever. He's getting the opportunity. He's earned the right. He's earned the team's trust. And now we just want to see him go out there and ball. So people out there, you can now support Jalen Hurts for you guys that were on the bubble here. Okay. So,
he's our quarterback. Support.
Yeah. I mean,
so we're talking about the quarterback position. We have not talked about Uncle Rico being signed. Eagles went full Uncle Rico with Gardner Minshew signed. Does anybody like that signing?
I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. A six-round
price?
Six, I was going to say.
$850,000 cap hit. I mean, the guy doesn't even cost $1 million. He replaces the smallest on the roster, so he only costs us $70,000 extra in cap space. No-brainer.
2 years left on his contract.
I love Minshew. He's the exact type of deal that it makes you wonder, it's like, what was the rest of the NFL doing? Like, how he, like, knocked it out of the park with this. He's cheap. Yeah. He's affordable. He's 25 years old. He has a higher QB rating than Kyler Murray, who was drafted in the same draft as him. He has the highest QBR in the whole draft class. He had a terrible team with Jacksonville. And, like, look at what he did. Like, 37 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, a 63% completion rated. Like, he's a lot better than people think, because, like, obviously he has like kind of like the Johnny Manziel aura with like the mustache. You know what I mean? Like, he has like that weird, like, more celebrity more than player kind of status in the NFL and in pop culture. But, like, that kid can play, though. Like, when you watched him play, like, there's a reason why he ended up taking over Foles' job after Foles came back from the collarbone. And it's just a really good option. Like, right now he's QB3. You got him for a 6-round pick. And overall, though, I feel like Hurts and Minshew, I would be comfortable with either of the guys going in there, but I think Hurts is set up to have a really good year. First off, because we have an excellent offensive line. Miles Sanders talked about that in detail all summer, especially yesterday. But the big thing is Sirianni. I mean, like, I had people that, like, really had no faith in him just because of the one press conference and then, like, little things. But, like, all our receivers do is get open, because you saw Rager had that awesome crossing route against the Jets. Just, we never did that with him last year. It was, like, bizarre. It's like, just run these guys. Like, it's like, oh, these guys aren't getting separation. Cross them across the field. The safeties, the corners, linebackers are going to run into each other. Someone's going to get open. So it's all moving towards that. And
mesh concept all day. Okay.
Exactly.
So we were begging for it all last year.
It was
like, just glaringly. It's just like, I wanted to pick up my PlayStation controller and just take over the game. It was torture last year.
I was about to buy Gale a mesh shirt because he said it so many times.
The QB room's looking good, guys.
And then the bubble screens, the bubble screens with wide receivers.
Oh, yeah, I'll put my head through this wall right now if we have to talk about this anymore.
Well, I think Chris, you know, hit it all on the head. I mean, you're getting Minshew for a 6-round. I mean, come on, like, that's bargain basement prices. I mean, let's be real here. For a guy who was, like you said, 37 and 11. Like, come on. I mean, let's be real. Like, and in fact, we're getting him, and everybody, I hate this, because the analysts are, you know, everybody is all like, oh, well, you know, the Eagles are just repeating everything they did with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. And I'm like, this is not even the same thing. Like, this guy is on a 2-year deal. He's going to be our backup. If Jalen Hurts is, you know, out of the box, then this guy is going to step into that number two slot once Flacco's gone next year. I mean, so this is perfect. You're getting your backup quarterback for potentially, if Jalen is our franchise, for potentially the next 5 to 10 years, and you got him as a 6-round. Like, come on. Let's just, I mean, do the math here.
Peanuts for the next 2 years. So I feel like our depth, QB depth, is pretty nice. You got an ex-Super Bowl MVP who's kind of washed gang right now, but he's in the incubator system with Hurts. And I feel like Minshew is a guy who comes in and competes. Like, you might tell him he's not a starter, but he doesn't see it that way. That's what, those are the kind of guys I want behind Hurts, pushing him. And he's got experience. So obviously that experience, he's flashed in certain games and could be better than Mullins. So that's the timeline's weird, man. You pick up a guy. I mean, he's got experience with David Caldwell. So former Jaguars GM, he knows what he has, knows his skill set. So I feel like it all makes sense if you want to bring someone in to compete. So looking at the other position, any other guys that stood out to you that have made the roster? I did like that Taron Jackson made it. I was kind of
late round sleeper, baby. I still can't believe we got him. And he got the opportunity to show it, and he showed out.
Okay, well, hold on. The only person that did not want to make it, I can't say his name, is it from USC?
Tua Peloto.
Oh, yeah, my Tua Peloto. God. How?
That's
well, he's got promise as a run stopper, man. That's it.
Kindergarten hands. He has.
Well, I mean, he does have some twitch to him, but they didn't say that he showed out too well. Yeah. Obviously, he's a draft pick. Jacoby Stephens gets cut.
Yeah,
that was shocking.
I'm sure they'll
check
him back.
I had him all my cuts, man, and you know how much I liked him. And it was hard for me to put him on there. And exactly what you just said, injuries led to me cutting him because you have, dude, there's seven guys on the roster right now that I could put ahead of him, and we just did. So it sucks, but you hope that he goes unclaimed and maybe he gets a chance to prove that he can be that nickel linebacker on the practice squad.
True, but no. I don't know if you guys seen that preseason game when he played. He was like the only person at times was just like, he was only rookie out there. And he was like going after it. He was going after it. And I don't know. I mean, most of us are college guys, but did you see the way he handled Kyle Pitts when he played against Florida?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He put the paws on him. That's why I was like, yo, like, come on. But then I get it. You can't make the team from the tub.
Yeah.
Now, Pete Nathan, also known as whose agent?
Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, you know. See, I'm waiting for the crowd here. He says these fools really cut John Hightower, y'all. John Hightower, as much as we like his separation, we like his ability to get open. The inconsistency at the catch point has been an issue, and also what's not been talked about enough is inconsistency as a professional. I think, you know, he's just not grasping being a professional football player at this moment. Not to say, not taking anything away from him, but you know, I got that from somebody who would know, and that's the surprising point, because we saw his blazing speed, we saw all that, but I didn't hear about that inconsistency as a player. And then you got to have the team to be. You have to have the team be able to depend on you as a player. And if they couldn't depend on you, and that this is where we get back to J-Jaw being the fifth wide receiver here, you can depend on J-Jaw to be where he's supposed to be and do what he needs to do when asked or coached. And that's why he's not here. So
you said yourself, Gail, he was given an extra opportunity. Because these guys get to play special teams, but in his case, he gets to have the ball in his hands as a returner. And Folgum and Arcega-Whiteside didn't have that, so they gave him that shot, and he sucked at it. And he sucked at catching the ball, and as a receiver, well, you got to catch the ball. So I don't really think it's a dumb move at all. I think he needed to step it up, and he didn't. So his loss. Yeah.
We talked about this. I mean, it's time. You didn't want the smoke. I mean, you know, I mean, let's just be real about it.
Squad maybe, but yeah, exactly.
Now Pete's going to his Twitter timeline. Look at you, man. Look at you doing your work. I mean, we've all seen his separation ability, but that's, at this moment, there's guys that are looking to make this roster.
You know what? Before you say a player, though, before anybody gets in that, can we give a little bit, because I know people are going to hate me for this one. Howie Roseman, man, you got to give praise where it's due, and he has been slaughtering people this offseason, and he's not done yet. And, you know, we killed with the cap space, the draft, everything. Now, going into this, you didn't think, you know, he would do anything. He got Gardner Minshew, which we just talked about, for $850,000 cap hit for a six-round pick. Then, today, he trades a guy that's not even going to make the roster, Matt Pryor, with a seven-round pick, and adds a six-round pick. So we get that six-round pick that we lost back, and I'm stunned by it. I think that Howie Roseman deserves a little bit of this. Now we got to see how these guys develop, and, you know, I'm still a little pissed off, but he's heading in the right direction. So good job, Howie.
Hey, and then if you guys watched the last preseason game, you saw me and Ev, we got caught on the screen. I know people are making memes out of it, but we were sitting. Matt Pryor's family was sitting right behind us, so it was just an interesting bit to like actually watch preseason, and you know his family's watching every single snap and like determining if he's done enough to actually make the roster. It's a weird scenario when you know just like wow, you guys are watching this game on a whole nother level because you're. They're watching is his snaps. Did he get called for a false start? So, I mean, shout out to you guys for just being, when players get traded or moved, their families got to move. The whole life is shifted. So shout out to the Pryor family. But, you know, shout out to also Howie for getting a solid trade, man. I mean,
do you think they're watching right now, Gail? Because I was going to say something, but I don't want to.
No, good people. I mean, it is what it is.
It wasn't going to be bad. It's just if you are watching, this is just a little something maybe Matt could use from the grapevine of people that work around him. He is a freak athlete for someone that is 6'7", 320 pounds, I believe. That's a big dude, and he can move. But the fact that he has not been able to put it on the table and has been given the opportunity, it kind of tells you about work ethic. And I'm not here to judge this guy and tell you, he made it to the NFL, dude. But this is what separates the guys that are getting cut today and the guys that are becoming great. And from the person I was talking to, they couldn't believe that someone, because all of the linemen feel this way, he has not stepped up and really showed what he could do. So yeah.
I mean, the one thing that hasn't really been reported, he had surgery on his L4 and L5, and he played through injury last year. I know the Eagles were upset that he played through that injury without like letting them know about it. So, you know, he did gain weight. And he was fined for gaining weight in that situation. So he was fined $20,000 for not making weight. So getting back to shape could have played into his issues as well. But obviously them getting some value where, you know, you're always looking for value at the end of the draft. You can get a 6th-round pick versus a 7th-round pick. I'll take it. We're about to close out shop here. Any other things you guys want to talk about? Timeline is on fire today. Thank you guys for stepping in.
I just want to say one thing. So last night I was correct on my trade, right?
Oh, you were. You were correct on your trade with your intel. I mean, you called that Matt Pryor trade. And here we are today.
Yeah.
Any other player? Any other players on this roster that need to be talked about?
I love that Josiah Scott made it. He was really trying to show out. I was a little concerned that he got banged up there in the last preseason game for his chances, because we talk about, you know, someone said they were a little concerned about the defensive backs, and I hear you. We're lucky to have Gannon here. Hopefully he helps these guys out. But the cornerback position, Avante Maddox, man. I like him. I like him as depth, as a guy that can help a nickel corner and free safety. We've talked about all offseason. I do not like him outside, so we fixed that. The thing is, you could get an upgrade there. So people forget that we traded for Josiah Scott, and I really think at some point, you know, Zach McPherson, he could be a starter. But right now, Josiah Scott could really come in and take a lot of snaps from Avante Maddox, and I would be okay with that. Whoever wants to step it up, but I like to see him make the roster. It was a surprise over Craig James, who was a special teams ace, but another injury. So you don't know if these guys will be back or what'll happen next week, but it'll change.
Yeah, Josiah put it on it. They said at the last end of preseason, he played himself into a roster spot, just like maybe J.J. played himself into a roster spot. Did score a touchdown. Sure. Interesting stuff.
I mean, I heard Scott had a great, you know, joint practice with the Jets. That's what I heard from my guy over there in New York. He said that, you know, he was shining out over there. So these are the things, you know, we got a coach who values that practice, you know, not so much big on the preseason, but values those, you know, those practice matchups. So you got to shine when it's time to shine.
Let's see. Sure. People in the here we go. Geronimo Allison, a receiver being talked about. Eagles are looking at him, sniffing around him. Tim, that's what you've been hearing. Well, and then he got cut, so here he's out there for everyone to get a piece. Let's see.
Quentin Dunbar. Sorry,
another guy.
Yeah,
who Quentin Dunbar also played with Darius Slay as well, right?
Yeah. And I mean, who just got released from the Bears? Was it the Bears? He played with
cornerback.
Cornerback, yeah. Did he get released?
Hold on. Oh, an older just released guy.
Eddie Jackson. Give him to us.
Yeah,
is it Trufant?
Trufant.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so Trufant.
Someone Trufant made that in the comment. We got to go get him. I was like,
yeah, but yeah, they are sniffing around him. I guess his it's a little inside. His father got sick, and he got, I guess, something just wasn't right with him. He got cut from the Lions. He actually owes the Lions like $4 million. So, and he still wants to play. So that's just a little inside that I got.
Oh man, I know it's the 53. Everyone's talking about the path to 53. It's not a final roster. So tomorrow we can have
by no means
three or four other guys. A lot of movement. I mean, just the fact that these guys made it to the 53, you can tell your grandkids, son, your grandfather made the 53 to the Eagles. I got caught the next day, but I still made the Eagles 53. That it's an accomplishment. Let's not take that away from them. But before we get out of here, any last words? I'll go with Mr. Kincaid first.
Yo, Bird fans, stay confident, man. We got this. Nick Sirianni's got a plan. Coaching staff has got a plan. I know we don't want to say trust the process, but trust the process on this one. This team has good talent on the way. We got a whole bunch of draft picks. Just be patient. You know what I mean? We just came off a Super Bowl about 4 years ago. I know we try to forget that, but stay patient, man. Stay tuned. Eagles going to do something.
There's going to be a lot of moves.
There's going to be a lot of moves tomorrow.
Oh, he said tomorrow. Eagles are going to do something.
We'll be doing something.
I mean, we kind of already touched everything, that's important. Tim was just saying, just stay patient because this roster is ever changing every day going forward until September 12th. So, we gotta kind of look at the big picture and not just get so focused in on the position groups and who's on the roster right now and who's not on the roster. Because there's going to be guys that are coming back. I mean, shouts out to everybody, across the league who didn't make it onto a team today. I mean, your lives are impacted. I mean, it's a rough bid, getting called into an office and devoting yourself to a team for months on months and then to get told that you didn't make it. So, hey, for all them guys out there, keep fighting, get back in the gym, keep trying to get bigger and better. And, eventually somebody will pick you up. To the Eagles fans, like we just said, hey, keep the faith. We're going to get this thing situated. The best thing, I'll leave it on a positive. The best thing about this right now, this 53, is we have depth. And from what I'm seeing so far, we have depth at key positions. So that's a thing to hang your hat on with this new coaching staff coming in already. Like Jimmy was saying earlier, Howie, I don't know what happened. Maybe Nick got up in his grill or something, but Howie has flipped the script and he is starting to do some things we've never seen him really do like this. So pluses and pluses and pluses are coming. So stay positive, baby.
Chris.
Things are building in the right direction. I said this right after we got Nick Sirianni, and not to judge him too harshly in year one, because he's inheriting a team that wasn't good last year. He's inheriting a team that has missed on free agents, a team that has missed on draft picks, a team that had a ton of cap issues and dead money. I mean, the biggest dead cap hit ever in NFL history is something that he inherited. But this is what you see, though. I want to see him establish a culture. It looks like he's doing that. The team looks like they're one collective unit right now. It's looking really good. It looks like he is developing players. Quez Watkins and Rager look phenomenal right now. I understand that's the preseason. I understand that we still have to see them do it in games. But you're seeing guys that people were counting out and people were very unsure of look very confident. They look like they're guys that are progressing each week. And then you see a guy like Jalen Hurts that is – easily the leader of the entire team. You see vets backing him. You see the young guys gravitating towards him. He's the guy that's going to be with Linked to Sirianni through the ups and downs. But it looks like it might not come immediately, but success is coming. And remember this, the schedule, it's a little tough in the beginning. So immediate reactions, obviously people are going to be going crazy. I mean, look how people reacted to the New England game where barely any starters played in the preseason. But in general, though, hopefully that we stock up on the practice squad. We're allowed to keep holding a bunch of guys on the practice squad since last year because of COVID. And let's hope that some guys like Jordan Howard make their way back, Richard Rodgers make their way back. Hopefully Jacoby Stevens can get stashed because I still see the potential there. But overall, though, we're moving in the right direction. And next year, we have a ton of potential to stack the cards even higher for our team.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll try to make this quick. I know a lot of people got places to go. So one thing we've talked about is the way to go into this season excited and getting ready for football is to temper your expectations, ladies and gentlemen. This is a new head coach with a new quarterback. But guess what? You're allowed to be excited about it. You're allowed to get pumped up for the promise of this team because there is a lot. And the potential is very high here, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, if Jalen Hurts, offensive line stays healthy, all these other things we've talked about all offseason, if they continue – this team is going to surprise everyone. We're going to win the NFC East, and we're going to build a championship contender in the next couple of years here. We've got 10 draft picks next year. We've got almost 80 to $100 million in cap, depending on what we do with restructures. Dude, get excited. Football is 12 days away. Rocket Randall Cunningham. Yeah, I'm getting pumped just thinking about it. So I hope you guys can finally rest in. Try not to get worried. Like all these guys said, the roster's going to change, right? You're going to see Tyree to the IR. Guys moving around. It's fine. Let's go, Birds! I'm just ready for some football.
Well, if I can borrow some of that juice. Like I said, 53 is not final. It's all going to be moving parts as we move on to the next couple of days. Just be excited that we're here, finally. I know, you know, families are waiting for this moment. I feel, you know, I'm feeling for y'all. But overall, Eagle fans, we got our 53, and we're going to have moving parts, okay? So we'll see you guys shortly. There could be some breaking news coming around the corner, I hope. Hopefully a trade is in the works. That's what we keep on hearing about. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys soon. And as always, go Birds, and we'll see you very soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.